Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we have Senator Dan Katowski and Chicago Tribune cartoonist Scott Stantis, with a visit from Senator McGuire, with music from Vicki Emerson. And of course, since it's Thrifty Thursday, we have David Hochberg joining us at 11:45, as well as Pete Trabacco on tips to save on summer travel. And if that wasn't enough, we have the accountants of Homeland Security joining us at 12:35. And now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in Chicago, Illinois, here she is, Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, where you can watch us on the live stream, WGNradio.com, and you'll see Scott Stantis playing the ear drums.
Yes, well.
Very well. Just super chick.
Virtuosity.
I'm a one-girl revolution. I am not a one-girl revolution. I don't go to Springfield with the hopes I can do anything. I really want to be a bit of the eyes and ears, and you know, I share some live video on Facebook to let people know kind of what's going on through the course of the day. 2 days in a row, I've been outside the doors when the Democrats caucus lets out, and that's the House of Representatives caucus with Speaker Madigan. And I don't know if you've seen the Facebook live video, but I'm usually
watched it live.
Well, you can't hear the speaker because he speaks very soft. When we interviewed him, when I sat down to talk to him in his office, I had to double mic him.
What does that mean?
To double
mic someone.
We had table mics and I had lavalier mics on him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had a lavalier mic. And I also interviewed, so I thought, you know, maybe it's just like his style and people are like, you know, he does it that way. And then I interviewed Republican leader Jim Durkin yesterday and it was the same thing. And I didn't get to double mic him because it was kind of an impromptu. I saw him in the rotunda and I said, I'd love to interview you sometime. And he said, he doesn't stay up this late. And I said, well, it just so happens I have digital equipment. I can record you. But then he put his own lav on and I didn't feel comfortable enough to reach over and like slide it up his tie. I don't know if that would have mattered because he also speaks very low. It's like almost in a whisper and like this. And it was great. It was a great conversation. And I'm not sure how much of it will ever be. And I try to lower my voice so that when we did air it, you wouldn't hear like my voice coming in booming and his voice down here. You know, when
Why do you suppose they're both low talkers?
I don't know.
That's weird.
You and I are loud talkers. Like we don't have inside voices.
No.
No, I don't do that very well.
No.
As people who stay awake to my show know very well.
My sexy voice is pretty much this.
Oh God, I don't want to know that. but we're going to talk to Senator McGuire, who is a lovely human being. I want to say this about going to Springfield. I was thinking about this on the train back because it is really frustrating, and I know everyone is really frustrated. And you can bang your head against the wall that Governor Rauner is the guy in office, and you can scream at the top of your lungs that Speaker Madigan is in office and has been there for so many years. But really, ultimately, this is part of the democratic process. More than half the state, or more than half the people that showed up to vote in the last gubernatorial election, picked Rauner. They by a strong majority. And Speaker Madigan continues to win in his district. And the people that we all send to the legislature, they choose him as their speaker. I know it's not everybody, but this is the democratic process. And this is where we are. These are the people that we have chosen. And I know that you can say, well, I didn't, but we did. This is, you know, this is our state. We show up at the polls. We cast our ballots, and this is what we wanted. People who voted for Rauner wanted him to. I have to imagine they wanted him to break Madigan, is what they
wanted
envisioned.
To break the system.
They wanted to break the system.
Yeah, they saw under Quinn that things weren't going well, that things were getting worse and worse, and
right.
They assumed that Rauner was going to fix that with his businessman type acumen.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell everybody. I will. I do know what to tell you. I've talked to a lot of legislators on both sides of the aisle, and I wish I could convey to you really how frustrated many of them are for you. I mean, I really believe that there are so many people I've talked to who just they want this to be over as well. These are not folks that are making a lot of money doing this to you, because I know it feels like it's being done to us, and this is. I've had long conversations with people. I've sat down with, and I actually had someone, I was doing a Facebook Live in the gallery and they saw me up there and they came up and they sat down next to me and I had to walk away so people couldn't hear us. on my phone. But, you know, he was like, we're so close on some of these things that I don't even know what to do next because I don't think this is going to get done by the 30th. And if we don't get this done by the 30th, schools might not open. If we don't do this in July, we go another year and we head towards being $25 billion behind.
It becomes, well, and also don't forget our bond rating goes below junk.
Right.
So no one will touch that.
Oh, you know, I'm so sorry, Michael. I'm so tired. I think we were supposed to call Senator McGuire at the top of the show, and Vicky is at 11:15. Isn't that the schedule? Or maybe we moved it. Let's call Senator McGuire now. Let's take a break. Let's do it that way. Okay. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. The 11:05 already.
It's your show. You can do what you want.
No, not really. More after this on 720 WGN. No, remember that one time? You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me in studio is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, editorial board member for the Chicago Tribune. And joining me on the line is one of my favorite human beings. I'm sorry, Scott, you're also one of my favorite human beings.
Okay.
But when I see Senator McGuire, it just makes me happy. And for various reasons, Senator, you're always very kind, and I know that you're working so hard. And also, you're a big fan of Senator Katowski, so these are all good things that I appreciate about you, sir. How are you doing?
Thanks for your kind words. I'm good, Patty. How are you?
I'm all right. You know what? 2 days in Springfield and I'm done. I don't know what you're going to do for the next 8 days, but I'm so happy to be back in Chicago, to be back home. What is your sense of the first 2 days of this 10-day special session?
I'm breaking in a new pair of dress shoes.
Okay. A lot of walking around the building. I know that you guys gavel in and are gaveling out pretty quickly. Is there much you can do? Because you guys passed a budget, a spending bill, a revenue bill, a school funding bill. What is there for you to do during this process?
We're waiting for the House and the governor to act.
Right. And
the House today.
Ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go, sir.
I hear that the House today had a committee of the whole, not a comedy of the whole. I didn't mean it. A committee of the whole, in which they heard testimony about workers' comp. And tomorrow the House will have a committee of the whole devoted to property taxes.
Okay, so these are elements that, according to Republican leader Jim Durkin, are elements that that must be a part of the budget process, which are pension reform, workers' comp, and a property tax freeze of 4 years, I think is what they're going for. What was workers' comp included in the work that you guys did in the Senate?
The budget package that the Senate passed the last week of May included most, if not all, of the governor's demands. So there's property tax freeze, there's workers' comp trims, there's a local government consolidation bill, there's pension reform, and the budget itself authorizes the governor to spend $37.3 billion, which is exactly the amount that he requested in his budget address back in February, and it includes $3 billion in cuts, in anticipated cuts. And it raises the personal income tax rate to 4.95, which is a figure we've been told the governor would swallow.
But what I've heard, and I know that there is sometimes a sort of not cloud of secrecy, but there's you know, the communication between the chambers can be nebulous. Would you say that would be accurate?
Well, you know, I've been here 5 years. I wasn't here when the now Senate President John Culleton was in the House, but he was Speaker Mike Madigan's floor leader. He was his majority leader. And it appears that the working relationship between the Senate President and the Speaker has been strained.
Right. That's been my understanding as well. And I think that it's been exacerbated during this process over the last little over 2 years. Well, so we know that the Senate has put forward their, you know, their proposal that it was entirely a Democrat vote. This bill was only voted on by Democrats, no Republicans, even though this had elements, as you just said, that the governor asked for. None of the Republicans voted for this compromise. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, it was a slightly recast version of the Culleton-Redonio bipartisan compromise, a.k.a. the grand bargain. And back on February 28th, we voted on the first five bills of the 12 that comprised the grand bargain, and we passed those five. The Senate did, with a high water mark of 7 Republicans voting yes. And then the next day, we anticipated voting on the remaining 7 bills in the grand bargain package, including the toughest votes, workers' compensation trims and tax increases. And that was the day that the governor pulled all Republican support from the grand bargain, save for that of Minority Leader Redonio, who stood fast. And before we went to the floor expecting to vote on you know, the rest of the bills, the 7 most contentious bills in the grand bargain, Leader Redonio had to come to Senate President Cullerton and tell him that she was the only Republican vote that he had left.
So it's such a bizarre exercise in drama at this point, isn't it? Or is it even drama? It's surreal at this point.
Yes. What do you mean, bizarre exercise in drama?
nothing at all. It's,
no, come on.
She's in the good
you're
way.
Knowledgeable. You're on top of this.
Yeah. No. I was standing there. I was in the press box when President Cullerton introduced the, I believe it was 11 pieces of the package, and from across the floor, you know, Leader Redonio said, I need to pull 2 of those things, and I was trying to figure out what was going on. It seemed as though, you know, things were going full steam ahead for the most part, and then Senator Cullerton was like, I don't know what else to do now. We've done everything we could since January, and now what? There's nowhere to go from there.
Right. So, you know, last week the House and Senate Republican budgeteers introduced their budget, which they dub the Capitol Compromise, and yeah, it's somewhat akin to the budget that the Senate passed with only Democratic votes. And, you know, frankly, I'm glad that they introduced it. That's another item on the table. And so maybe a compromise can be fashioned out of the Capitol Compromise introduced by House and Senate Republicans last week, and the you know, the version of the grand bargain, which was passed with only Democratic votes the last week of May. So again, we're waiting for the Speaker and the Governor to respond to these two budgets, which have been put on the table.
Well, I thank you so much for staying up late. Before we let you go, I know that I have kept you up late tonight. What drew you to politics? What would inspire you to decide to run for office?
You know, presidential nominating conventions have been described as reunions of student council presidents. I was a student council president. I've never been to a national nominating convention, but I have a good ballot name. My uncle was in politics. My grandfather was in politics. And from a young age, I was used to this. My grandfather was a township highway commissioner, and on weekends I would ride around with him, and he had a little notebook in which he'd write, you know, where a hole in the road needed to be filled, or a new culvert needed to be put in, or some gravel needed to be dumped at the end of a widow's driveway. Now that driving around and his making those notes, that was preceded by stopping at a pancake breakfast, where I learned that the way you campaign for office is you interrupt people while they're eating. and then after our drive around the, you know, the roads of unincorporated Joliet Township, then we would go to wakes.
You would go to wakes.
I learned the elements.
Wow.
So as a kid, this is what appealed to you as a kid? I'm trying to put this together. Pancakes and wakes.
Breakfast, making notes of what the people you serve need, and then wakes.
There you go. And then wakes.
Wow. How do you say? Are you tired of it now? I mean, the atmosphere, like you said, Senate, no Republican votes. I mean, you look at the national scene where the Republicans are hammering through their Trump care thing. That's not going to get a single Democratic vote. Obamacare didn't get a Republican vote. I mean, at some point, I mean, you've been in this, like you said, for a long time. Are you tired? Do you ever get tired of it? Do you ever just say, to heck with it?
Sometimes, but I'm telling you, this sounds corny, but my spirits are revived when I go home, when I go back to my district. I mean, you know, I tell people, thank goodness I have a district. You know, so I represent 9 communities, the largest of which are Joliet and Bolingbrook. But here, back to what's going on down here. No, I mean, we... this isn't a pleasant experience, having Bruce Rauner as governor, but it's certainly a novel experience. I don't know that Illinois has ever been in a situation like this, where a guy richer than Croesus, occupies the, well, he doesn't occupy the governor's mansion now. He's living out at the state fairgrounds, but, you know, is governor of Illinois and seems to not need either political party. And I don't see my Republican, I don't see smiles on the faces of my Republican colleagues.
I don't either. This is we're in for a long haul, and I want to check in with you again. And Alice, like I said, thank you so much for staying up late. I appreciate all your hard work. Thank you for doing the work of the people, sir.
Again, you're kind to me. Thank you, Patty.
You're a good man. I'll talk to you later, sir. More for this. Thank you. And then the news on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. People who listen to the radio overnight for years know that when Steve and Johnny were, they created this time slot. They created overnight radio in Chicago. And when they said, hey, you know, there's some musicians that we really love, would you have them on the show? I'm like, you had me at whatever you asked me to do, which is how I met Vicki Emerson and Sarah Morris, who are in studio with us right now. And I'm so happy to have you guys back.
Oh, thanks for having us back.
Thanks, Patty.
My pleasure. This is Scott Santis. I know you already met.
Yes. Hello. Hey, Scott.
Scott is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, also editorial board member. Yeah. So, not that, I mean, he's not just sitting here judging you about your music abilities. He's here to have fun.
I'm cartooning you in my head.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
Do you do that? Do you cartoon everybody in your head?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, man. Would you music everything in your head?
A lot of things.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't do anything in my head. I'm just kidding. I'm not sure what I'm doing. I catalog.
I can't even imagine what's going on.
I catalog.
There.
I judge.
Joke. You kid.
I absorb all that stuff. Where were you guys at? You had a show tonight.
Yes, we had a show at Uncommon Ground, and today was in the car. We were in the rainstorm for a long time, and then we were in the traffic, and
we left Minneapolis at 10.
And then we just were
in the car with the pounding rain
for
hours.
Oh, man. Was there any concern that you might not make it to Uncommon Ground in time?
Tiny.
A little bit?
A little bit.
A little bit of stress?
Yeah, tiny bit. We're okay now.
No.
Because we made it.
How long have we had that smile on for? No, we're fine.
Still fine.
Everything good.
I need sleep.
Well, I know that, by the way, you had posted a, I don't know how long ago it was that your album was available on iTunes, and I downloaded that right away.
Oh.
And you have wonderful music. I love what you guys do.
Thank you.
And by the way, I also love your Instagram accounts.
We like yours too. I'm very, very fond of the CrossFit.
Oh, thank you. You should try it sometime.
You are sort of inspiring me.
Please do
I just signed up for a 10-mile run, to start doing the training for them.
Do the CrossFit because it's a total body, getting yourself in shape. It's like a recess for adults.
Your pull-ups are like.
But I have an exercise band.
You're amazing.
You have to understand. I'm not doing chin. I'm using a band.
You lift heavy things over your head.
She's amazing.
I know.
I feel like we've come so far in our relationship over Instagram, don't you?
I feel too.
I know you now.
Uh-huh. I know. Your kids are awesome.
Oh, thanks.
I'm just saying. So you have, is a song that you're going to do for us? I feel like, please now play for me. I have my court musicians in the studio.
Yeah.
Is this one from a previous album or is this on the... Or is it a new one?
Album that's just existing in our heads at this point.
Yeah, so
it's
Sarah,
album of the future.
Yeah. Sarah and I, we each had our own solo careers, and then we started working together, and we named our duo the Home Fires.
The Home Fires.
Yep. And then now when we go on these road trips, she brings her son's little guitar, and she sits in the passenger seat, and I drive, and we write songs together in more of a duet form. So they're not my song, and she's singing harmony, or vice versa. It's our song.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last little trip we took in Wisconsin, we wrote this song called Beehive, and it's about how making a woman mad is maybe not the best idea.
Yeah, that's probably true.
True that.
Been there, felt that. All right.
Just a little bit.
Here's Home Fires, the Home Fires with Beehive.
Kick to beehive, didn't you now? You kicked a beehive, didn't you now? You can try to run, but they're hot on your heels. Scared of the sting, cause you know how it feels. You kicked a beehive, didn't you now? Can trouble coming, buzzing around. Couldn't just leave well enough alone. You're some kind of fool, you should have let it go. You get the beehive, didn't you now? I can be sweet and I can be kind. I'm like a queen with honey on my mind. You come along and out of the clear blue sky, setting me off like a firework on the 4th of July. You kicked a beehive, didn't you now? Buzzing around,
buzzing around.
Here's a little lesson you don't need to learn twice. Bite your tongue if you can't say nothing. Ooh. As you kicked a beehive, didn't you now? I can be sweet, I can be kind. I'm like a queen on my mind. You come along and out of the clear blue sky, setting me off like a firework on the 4th of July. You kicked a beehive, didn't you now? Didn't you know you kicked a beehive? Didn't you know? Didn't you know you kicked a beehive? Didn't you know?
You know, my headache is starting to feel better. Just
oh,
sweet
that
voices.
Was wonderful.
That was really, really wonderful. That's Beehive by The Home Fires. Where can people find more of your music?
They can go to our website. We're working on putting it together. Yes. We have a video to thehomefiresmusic.com.
And is your schedule on there as well for other dates?
All yes. The dates.
All the dates.
Lots of them.
It's going to be a long summer.
Yeah, but fun. I mean, a lot of it's local too. So, you know, like our kids can come and that kind of thing, which is good. And which is also crazy town too.
We're both posting new songs on Facebook every week as well. So that's
great.
On our individual Facebook. So you can keep track of us that way too.
That was just lovely.
That was tremendous. That's Bobby Gentry-ish.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll have David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage for Thrifty Thursday. Right now, we have some lovely music. I think that Scott Santis is intrigued by
I'm loving this. This
I know,
is great.
They're wonderful. We have Sarah Morris and Vicki Emerson, The Home Fires. They are solo performers and also perform together as a duet and really some beautiful harmonies. Where did you grow up, Vicki?
I grew up in Wisconsin.
What part of Wisconsin?
Tiny town called Elmwood, Wisconsin. It's the self-proclaimed UFO capital of the world.
What?
Yes, crazy.
I thought that was like down in
No.
That's in Texas.
Don't.
That's,
Area 51. No, no. People in Elmwood would lose
their
minds.
They have UFO days, you guys. You know how every town has their own little deal? That's theirs at the end of July.
Have you seen a UFO?
No, but I am a former UFO queen because my mom made me run for Miss UFO when I was 15 years old, and then I won.
What?
I will send you the picture of me riding around on the world's ugliest float that they built out of a UFO, Penny.
You had a spaceship.
I
was
had
your
a spaceship that was grounded permanently.
So does the queen dress as an alien?
No.
No.
See, and then, no, we had the way. Like,
did
I had
you have
the
a sash,
way.
Though?
I did. And do you know what? I recently found the sash and the crown, and I think my husband thought this was totally a crap story, like I made it up, and because the pictures are kind of grainy, you know,
sure,
a while ago. And we found the crown and the sash. He's like, it's real. I'm like, you bet it's real.
Wow. I mean, like, how much commitment do you have for him to have thought that you made it up, to have, like, grainy photos?
Like, really? I know.
And what does that say about your relationship?
I know. Well, we don't want to go there. But I made $25 a Sunday to be traumatized.
Oh, man.
It's not enough.
And then when the next queen is crowned, do you have to then also crown her?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
What does the tiara look like?
It's big.
Does it have, like, just, antennas?
It does not have that. Oh, it does not have that. Ever since, now
it's not thematic,
time has moved on, and they've retired that float, and I think you can pay $1 to get your picture taken on top
with
of it at
float.
UFO days.
Yeah. UFO days. Do they still do a queen, though?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
But now they have a pretty float.
Oh.
I miss that.
They should have, like, the queen alumna.
You'll love this. Yes. They tried. They sent me a letter, and it was said, "Dear old queen." And I was like,
no.
Not going.
Dear
not going.
Old queen.
Dear old queen, not going.
Wow.
RSVP.
Crazy.
No.
I love
learned
that.
Learn some better English. Thanks.
Sarah's like, Sarah's like, I don't have a UFO queen topper.
No, I was also a junior princess and a queen, but it was just for, like, the city. It was normal, and our float was cute. So
yeah, wow. But she was a flying monkey. So
I was a flying monkey. That's separate. That was in a play. That was different.
Look at Sarah's like, why you gotta bring up the flying monkey thing? It's not even in the same ballpark.
It was not part of my royalty experience.
What city was this?
Northeast Minneapolis, and then the city of Minneapolis does something called Aquitennial. I was Aquitennial Junior Princess. And
it still sounds weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much. It was so fancy, though, compared to
Elmwood UFO Queen.
Yeah. Our dresses looked like nightgowns. They were very sweet. Our parents made them.
Oh, like that's that nice. I mean, my mom was like, it'll look so good on your resume. That's, like, really what she said to me. I was like, oh, sure, Mom.
did that help?
No!
But when you... But when
you're
doing overnight radio.
You about it.
Well, let's see. A college degree, master's degree. Oh, wait.
Yeah, right. Showstopper.
I have a weird moment where I have to sneeze and I don't know what to do about that. I don't know that I've ever sneezed on the air. I'm fine.
Yeah. It might happen.
We can all just talk over.
What's up?
Have you ever had that moment where you're driving and you're like, I have to sneeze. I don't know how this ends. Right. You're going like 80 miles an hour. And
yes.
You're like, yeah.
Totally. And you're like, I need to sneeze so bad, but also then I may die because
yes.
of the sneeze.
Right. Yeah, yes. Because I mean, like, how bad is my body going to convulse?
Right.
And am I going to slam
well,
into
the
sneeze?
Well, your eyes have to shut when you sneeze.
Exactly.
No matter how hard you try.
Yeah.
Right.
They're like, don't text and drive, but it's also...
Don't sneeze and drive.
Yeah. Yeah. How many people have to die before we learn this lesson?
I know.
Here's the PSA for tonight.
The more you know...
I'm trying to think who the spokesperson for that would be.
I don't know, but
well, maybe we
can.
Could
you
be.
Hear it? I can't. My whole face just, like, shut down because I can't. I had to bottle that up. Esmeralda, how do you do when you have to bottle up a sneeze? How does that work for you?
Like, in general,
yeah.
Or right now?
Right now. I'm not asking right now. Have you ever had to, like, back off a sneeze and you're like, now I don't know where that went? That energy that was supposed to be exerted in a sneeze. Is
oh,
now.
Well, I hold my nose.
You hold your nose?
Yeah. Okay, it's not good for you because your eyeballs might pop.
I know.
Oh, that I don't want to see that.
No.
Or hear it. I mean, like,
that's just
like,
bad radio.
It is. But it's good for the live stream. It's excellent for the live stream. I mean, it's not UFO queen on a float.
No, what is, though, good really?
For you're welcome.
It's fantastic. But when you're going to rehearsal for The Wizard of Oz and you're flying monkey,
yeah.
And you don't have any, did you have any, like, were you one of the active monkeys, like, dragging the
so
scarecrow
the
parts?
The story was all the kids in the chorus. I was first the mayor of Munchkin City in the first scene, but then you're just chorus after that. And so I was, like, 16.
So you come out with, like, the whole, like, the isn't there, like, a welcoming thing? Or
mayor of the Munchkin City,
yes.
County of the Land of Oz. I still know that part. But
as you should.
When we got to be assigned, like, they're like, okay, kids, everybody over 5 feet, you get to be Winkies. And they're the ones, they're like the witch's army. Everyone under 5 feet, you have to be flying monkeys. And I and my one best friend were the only two people over 10 who had to be flying monkeys. All the other flying monkeys were wee children.
We children.
We were very, it was It was dark.
Yeah. Well, let's go lighter. Did you want to do? Do you have a 2 minute song? Because my producer told me I have to take a break at 57.
You know what? You can just cut us off.
I'll just roll you down.
Roll us out.
Sing us into the commercial.
We'd love to do that.
Oh my God, this is amazing! What song are you singing?
Take me back.
Take me back. Take me to the commercial.
Right.
Take me back.
That's what we're doing.
All right then.
Sometimes it's hard to find any strength left to wade through another day, but you hold on, you dig deep, you take the good, you tell the bad to leave, you get back on your feet. But I recall a time when I wasn't so tired, and you and I were doing. Take me back, take me back, take me back to those good old days. Take me back, take me back, take me back to those good old days. I close my eyes and I can see exactly the moment we met and the day that we wed. And even though I wouldn't change a single thing, I miss you, my dear. But I recall a time when I
in my CD and let me run around and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause this is summertime.
It is summertime, and Scott, I don't know if you're packing up the kids to travel. I know that your kids are adults now, and
yeah,
I don't know what it's like
with them.
You and your wife just gonna take off. I am packing up my minivan and going to a family reunion in Michigan. Last summer we made a last minute decision to go to Philadelphia, and we had a great time. I don't think I did it early enough to like maybe figure out how to save money, and I think that's a problem. Or maybe there's ways to save money at the last minute. So to help us figure that out for summer, tips on saving money during your summer travel is Pete Tribuco, who you've seen on Fox, CNN, CW Network, MSNBC, all those great shows, joining us. Hey, Pete, how are you doing?
I am good. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. I have, the last couple of times I've made trips, I've kind of done them at the last minute, and I felt okay about it. But I'm sure there were probably other options and things that I could have researched, and I should have called you and said, hey, what do I do if I want to make a last minute trip to Philadelphia to see the the Independence Hall and all those things?
Well, there's a lot of things that you can do. Obviously, the first thing you got to decide whether or not you want to drive or you want to fly. Obviously, you know, at this time right now, it's the average is about $370 per person. That's like $1,200 for a family of four to travel pretty much somewhere, a destination location. Now, you got to put that in consideration because that's a very expensive venture. You could drive there, and it's less than 5 or 6 hours, which is probably the limit that I could take in a car at any given time. You might want to even look into that because that will definitely save you money well in the long run. Plus, if you rent a car, obviously, the prices are very, very good for you to actually have a great trip. And it's one of the things I try to do whenever I'm thinking about, saving money. That's one aspect of doing that that works really well.
I agree. I mean, I have a limit. I'll set a number for, I'm not going to spend more than this on airline tickets. But I can't drive. I mean, you're right. I would say 5 or 6 hours. So I guess for, people in the Chicagoland area or wherever you are, I guess, do you use a compass then, Pete, and like draw a circle around where you are? Where's my 5 to 6 hour, right? What's the circumference? What's inside this circle that I can drive to and save money that way?
Remember, I'm not from your area.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I'm from the New York area. So I would say Boston one way, maybe Pittsburgh the other way, and maybe down to I guess the Virginia Beach or up to Montreal would be my circumference for my area. And I, of course, you can go accordingly to, you know, to your area, how far that would be. But you know, it's better to do it that way. But then, of course, you got to deal with the kids. You got to deal with stops all the time. So, you know, there are things that you can do there. You mentioned that you actually like to take those last minute trips.
I do.
Believe it or not, a lot of people love to do that. And the thing is, these hotels and these airlines and everybody that's involved in that sometimes have a lot of tickets they need to give away. And they think they're going to get rid of them. And at the end, they're saying, look, we really got to get rid of these by hook or by crook. So they put together these programs and presentations, start putting stuff online, and you can really get some great deals by doing that. So, you know, that's another way of actually saving money is look for those things in your, you know, in your newspapers and your in the daily things, you know, going over to the convenience stores. You could save a lot of money doing that. And then that's another area. Also, try a cruise.
Ooh.
People think it's expensive, but you know, after all the incidents that have occurred and everything that goes on with that, you know, the hardest part or the most expensive part of taking a cruise is actually flying to the actual ship that you're going to be on. So if you could drive to the ship, that'll save you money as well. And, of course, with these cruises, they're all-inclusive. Again, all-inclusive vacations are much better than just going somewhere and hoping that you get the best deal. When you're doing all-inclusive, everything is included in that resort or location, and that's a good way of saving money as well.
I love that. And I'm interested in doing a cruise, but my husband isn't crazy about being trapped with everybody, like not being able to get away from, you know, you kind of have a captive audience almost for a few days.
Right, but everyone I've ever known who's gone on a cruise has loved it. I don't know that I've ever met anyone who said they didn't.
I went on a cruise and I loved it.
Wow.
Yes.
Esmeralda?
So I might add that.
I've never been on a cruise, but if I were to be on a cruise,
you think you would love it?
Probably love it.
All right. There you go. I love that. I love that you guys would love it. So when you when people are looking at cruises, I mean, are there and any of these trips, is it better to use like your Expedias, your, you know, hotel.com, that kind of stuff to plan your trips?
You know, I'm a firm believer in sites like Expedia, Travelocity, and all the others to bundle everything together. You know, a while back, I was having a contest with my wife, and she was actually trying to book all this stuff individually, get the airline, the hotel, and the car. And it took her several hours to get a pretty good price. And I actually just went on Expedia Travel, and I do this all the time. You know, when I go for work and I work events, and the pricing that I got was very similar to someone spending 5 or 6 hours on the phone trying to get the best deals. It's best to do it that way. It's a lot easier. Plus, you can also, you know, the points obviously on your credit card, extremely important. You know, once you start using those credit cards and go into the same airline each time, you accrue points on your credit card, you accrue points with the airlines. I know people $800, $900, $1,000, you know, without getting beat up, by the way, you know, on the airplane, that can actually, you know, get those points and save that money and take those flights that they normally wouldn't be able to afford.
Hey, well, go ahead. Go ahead,
Scott. Pete, I was just going to say, I'm heading out to Italy in the next few weeks. And then, I mean, can you give me some pointers here? We're going to Florence. Been
okay.
There. Help me out here. We've never been. So what kind of advice would you give?
Well, you know, the most important thing is obviously, and again, I don't know what, you know, when you're going overseas, I always recommend to people use a travel agency. They're the experts. They're the ones that know what's going on. They actually have gone on these trips. My daughter just came back from Rome, and I believe they went to Venice. They went to Sicily, had a really good time, and they went through a special school travel agency. I always believe in stuff like that. The most important factor is, when you're going to Italy, is just enjoy yourself, relax. You're not gonna, you know, I'm an amusement park roller coaster guy, so I'm kind of into things that go pretty fast. When you're in Italy, just relax, enjoy, you know, all the beautiful fountains, and of course the Colosseum, the Tower of Pisa, and of course the Vatican is a great. Maybe if you get lucky enough, you could actually be there when the Pope is there, which is an amazing thing. Just enjoy yourself, have a good time. Portofino's nice. There's so many places to go. People are friendly, and so far so good. As far as, like, you know, the terrorist threat level is pretty low right there in Italy right now.
That's great. You know, I had a quick question, too. This is Michael, the producer. My family and I, we went on a cruise, speaking of, to go and see the Pope give Mass 2 years ago. And it was fantastic. And then my brother and I, we had the idea to take a bundled trip to Ireland, England, and a few other spots. But the bundle thing that you had mentioned before is such a good idea. What are some sites that I can go to as just like a common, you know, traveler who doesn't know a lot about, you know, finding the best deal? Where can I go to find these great bundled packages?
Well, you know, a Groupon, Living Social, are probably the best places to get bundling. Expedia does it, Travelocity does it, Priceline.com does it. There's so many out there. They're all very good. They're very competitive these days. And I would recommend any of the bundling going through, you know, these type of operations. Just make sure that they're, you know, one of the more reputable places. That, you know, go online and do some homework. But on the ones I mentioned, you know, obviously they're the ones that people are using most of the time. And it's great to do it that way. It makes it so much easier. You know, you're on vacation. You don't want to worry about putting everything together last minute like you did, because it could get a little stressful. So just try to have it all set up and you know, just be, you know, be aware of the, of also the, you know, the monetary factor. You know, how much money is it going to cost you? What's the transferable rates between places? Oh, the one thing I did want to add is whenever you fly, try to set your dates for, you know, for buying tickets midday, midweek, like Tuesday or Wednesday when you leave. Try to do the same thing because, you know, those days are probably the best. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are the better days to actually you leave for your trip. Don't do it during the weekend. Everyone does it during the weekend. You know, if you could do a red eye, you could even save money there as well as, you know, some time just getting to your location.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your book. Do you mind holding on for the break? And we would talk to you about the personal guide to the best thrill rides and amusement/water parks.
Absolutely.
We are talking to Pete Trabuco. And by the way, if you have any questions for him, 312-981-7200. Join our conversation. You're in on this. This is your time, everybody. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Scott Santis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and editorial board member. On the line with us is Pete Trabuco. He is our travel guru tonight. Thank you so much for joining us late, Pete, by the way.
Not a problem. It's a pleasure.
I appreciate it. And by the way, we were talking about cruises earlier, and you guys were talking about how everyone you've ever talked to has loved a cruise. One of our friends of the show said, "I love the cruise, hated the people." So that's not going to help me get my husband on a cruise. Just want you to know that right now. But I, you know what? I'm finding when I travel, Pete, you have to have... how do I put this? You have to manage your expectations, don't you think? And be patient with a lot of different elements that might arise. Is that a good way to put it?
No, it's absolutely true. I mean, you're on vacation, and believe it or not, some people need I just took one myself, and you need a vacation from the vacation because you might not have planned as well, or things don't always work out the way you think they're going to. And you really got to be able to roll with the punches, have fun, know that you're on vacation, and if things don't work out as well as you like, or you know, you just make other plans, and just remember you're on vacation and to have a good time, and you don't want to be thinking about the one or two or three things that might have went wrong during your you know, during this time period.
Yep. And I have to tell you guys this. Scott has been feeling badly for me because I have a headache today. And part of it's from traveling to Springfield. Now, it's not my vacation, but it is travel. I ride Amtrak all the time. And there was a woman and her husband got on in Springfield. And both of them, you know, having some physical issues. They both had walkers. But for 3.5 hours, Scott, I'm not kidding. And I had headphones on. I could still hear her through my headphones. Well, we made the wrong choice. This is awful. I don't know why we did this. I wanted to sleep, and the train was full. But I mean, like, sometimes other people's bad trips can make your trip kind of miserable. So that's part of why I have such a bad headache tonight. Because for 3.5 hours, I mean, like, getting off the train, everything was just a mess. You have to be able to roll with the punches. Now, Pete, speaking of rolling with things, see what I did here? Roller coasters. No, it's not a good transition. Let's just skate right by it. But you have a book, A Personal Guide to the Best Thrill Rides and Amusement/Water Parks. First of all, do you have a favorite? What is your favorite?
Well, you know, my favorite, and this is the coined or the classic answer that everyone doing this actually says, is my favorite roller coaster or my favorite amusement park is the one I'm actually in right now. But I will tell you that Cedar Point, Sandusky, Ohio, is a great place to go. You have Six Flags Great America right in Chicago, which has got some amazing rides like Raging Bull, which is one of my favorite rides in that area. And, of course, down in Disney, I just came off Avatar and Pandora, which is it's a simulation ride, but it's probably one of the best simulation rides I've ever been on at the new Animal Kingdom with Pandora. So there's a lot out there. There's a lot of great rides and attractions. Some simulations, some where I live in New Jersey, there's a ride that's called Kinder Ka, which goes from 0 to 130 miles an hour in 3 seconds and up 450 feet and down 450 feet.
What?
The whole ride only lasts about 20 seconds, but if you ever want to know what it's like to be launched off an aircraft carrier, this is about as close as the civilians can get to doing that.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds crazy.
Do you like roller coasters?
Thinking about it right now makes me a little bit nauseous. But I do like roller coasters. It's funny. I've been going to Great America since I was little, and I have never been on Raging Bull. I've always wanted to go on it for one reason or another. Now that I have kids, my son is not quite there yet. My 13-year-old is he's just getting used to the bigger roller coasters. But I've heard great things about Raging Bull. Have you tried that new? Have you heard about the new Joker ride at Great America?
Oh, absolutely! In fact, the ride that you have there, we had here in New Jersey at Six Flags Great Adventure. It opened up last year. Then it opened up at three other parks, including Great America. And it is a ride that I can, you know, normally I can describe a ride to you. This one is very difficult in the effect that it's more like a 4D ride because not only are you going through a track, not only are you on a car, but you're also getting flipped backwards, forwards. The seat itself is actually got a mind of its own and moving back and forth. So you don't know if you're going forward or backward when you're in your loops and dives. It's not nearly as intense as Raging Bull, but it is a ride that if you don't like those rides that go upside down and flip up, it's upside down, you probably won't be happy about that ride. But I loved it. I thought it was a great ride. And one that even a lot of family members can actually ride that probably wouldn't want to go on Raging Bull.
But it's like your seat spins independently of the track, right?
Yes. Yeah. You might be going down a small portion of the track, and it looks like you're going forward, but at the same time, now the seats move backwards or it's flipped a certain way. You might be going down, let's say, a 30 or 40-foot drop.
Wow.
And you think you're going backwards, but now you're going forwards and upside down. So it's a very interesting sensation. Something that's why they call it a 4D ride, because it is it's much different than, you know, just riding down a track or you know, dangling feet on a roller coaster or standing up on a roller coaster or even flying like Superman does, you know, on your back. This is totally different in that. You don't know. There's no way you know. And as a pilot, a former pilot, I like to know what I'm doing and when I'm doing it. And on this particular ride, even I can't figure out what's going to happen next on that ride.
Wow.
Hey, Pete, I got to ask you, I mean, and this is peripheral. It's not going to, but, you know, the thing I hate, and I think everybody can agree with me on this, going to parks like that, is the lines, you know, and it just takes forever. There's got to be a trick. There's got to be something I can do to avoid this.
Well, actually, there is at certain parks. Now, at Cedar Point, if you stay at the Breakers Hotel, which is there, you actually get what they call kind of like a magic hour, where you can actually go in an hour before anyone else does and go on the biggest ride. Disney is the same way. Universal Studios, if you stay at one of the hotels like Portofino or the Hard Rock Hotel, you again can walk right on with your actual card for your room key. You can go on the advanced or what they call, it's not called Easy Pass, or in this case, or it's not called Fast Pass, but it's great. So the most of these parks already have something put together so that you can avoid the lines. There's also a VIP type of a ticket you can buy for your family, in which you get tours and you go behind the scenes that could be a little more expensive, but at the same time, you can avoid all those lines. I was lucky. I hit Avatar and Pandora at a good point. I only had to wait about maybe an hour, but from what I recall when I left the park, people were waiting 7 hours to get on one ride.
Holy smokes.
So it was pretty incredible.
That's crazy.
Are there some rides coming up that you're excited about, some that haven't been opened yet, but you've heard the rumors, you've heard it in the pipeline, anything? Tell us, excite us.
Well, the rides have already been opened for this year, and you mentioned several really good ones, which I think are just absolutely amazing. Of course, the Joker at Six Flags Great America. Also, it's going to be, I believe, over at Six Flags Over Texas. It's already opened in New Jersey. A couple of other great rides. Kings Island's got Mystic Timbers, which is a wood coaster. That's out of Cincinnati. It's a really first-class roller coaster ride. Now, I don't know if you recall the pictures from when Sandy hit here in New Jersey, but we had that roller coaster that was actually in the water. The pier had collapsed, and you could actually see the roller coaster with the waves in the middle of the ocean area. Don't know if you saw those pictures, but we were happy to get a replacement this year. It took this long since Sandy to get a replacement at Casino Pier, which is called Hydrus. And we're absolutely looking forward to that one. We already talked about what's happening over at Animal Kingdom there. And you've got the Mind Blower Wood Coaster at Fun Spot over in Florida, which is another great ride. And Invader at Busch Gardens Williamsburg, which is a great new ride, a new addition to Busch Gardens in Williamsburg. Have you any of you been to Busch Gardens in Williamsburg yet?
Never.
No, sir.
Great place to go. It's a smaller park than most, but I just love it because first of all, it's Busch Gardens, so obviously if you love beer, it's a great place to go because they've got a beer making and beer testing contest that you can be involved.
Wow.
In. So,
nice.
How many amusement parks have that? So it's pretty interesting.
I love that. Man, we could talk to you about all this stuff for a long time, for the rest of the show even, but I know we've kept you for a while, and we want to make sure that we don't wear out our welcome. We'd love to have you back again soon. Let us know the next time you're willing to stay up late.
Not a problem. I just want to also mention that the book that's coming out, it just came out from Starry Night Publications, and of course I have a website, PeteTribuco.com.
Yes, please.
You can buy the book there or Amazon. But all the money that I receive from my end, from not the publisher's end, but from my end, residuals or anything along those lines, goes to charity because it was a labor of love to write these books, and I'd like to pass that forward to worthwhile charities that need it.
And that's PeteTrabucco.com. That's TRABUCCO.com. Well, PeteTrabucco.com. Google him. You'll go right. You'll find the website. And again, his book, A Personal Guide to the Best Thrill Rides and Amusement/Water Parks, is available. And is it going to be at bookstores as well? But go to his website and help him raise money for some good causes. Pete, thank you so much for all your time tonight.
And thank you for having me. I do appreciate it.
Oh, we loved talking to you. And we'll do it again soon. Have a great night. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me in studio is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, who I believe I have finally convinced to join me in Springfield.
Yes.
On the very last day of this special session, the governor has called a 10-day special session in the hopes of resolving our budget impasse. If they don't pass a budget by June 30th, we will have entered our third year without a budget. And by the way, what a budget means is that we don't have a spending plan or a revenue plan. The state is still taking in money. We're still operating. We're still doing a lot of the things that we are supposed to be doing. But there's a backlog. A lot of things are going out the door that, you know, without a budget, just like we were talking, even like when you go on a trip, right? You decide this is how much we're going to spend. Because we don't have a budget, a lot of money is just going out the door. Without it being within the parameters of like, we're going to spend this much money this year on social services, we're going to spend this much money, or we're not going to spend this much money on education and things like that. Without a revenue plan, there's not a structure right now for how to fund the things that are going out the door. So it's a very strange time. And as I was coming out of the Senate yesterday, I was watching the Senate, they were debating some things, and it was mostly like appointments. And I saw the Republican leader of the House of Representatives, the highest ranking Republican really in the legislature, which is Republican leader Jim Durkin, who I've heard really great things about. I've spoken to him a couple times. I've also, there have been some conversations about things that he's changed a little bit in the last year, trying to sort of strategize, and some people have felt burned by him. I think he has felt burned by other people, whether it's on his side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle. And I said, I would really love to have you on the show sometime. Would you consider coming downtown, or, you know, can we do a phoner with you? And he goes, well, that's kind of late for me, as many people tell me, it's kind of late for them, and that's fine. So I said, well, I have audio equipment. I would love to record you. And as I mentioned earlier, Speaker Madigan is very soft-spoken, so we double-mic'd him just because I was worried about not capturing the interview. Unfortunately, because this was at the last minute, it was just me, and I only had one set of microphones, for a lapel microphone for each of us. And when I was going to go clip it on him, and he took it from me and put it on his tie, and I don't know if I would have put it up higher or not. I don't know if that would have made a difference, because he is also very soft-spoken. Sometimes he talks very quickly, which I can understand.
Okay.
But so we have a 33-minute interview, to give or take. So I'm only going to air 10 minutes. I want to give people a little bit of taste of a really fascinating guy. He comes from a big family. He has he comes from a family of 8 boys. His entire family, Democrats, and he is the lone Republican. He tells a little bit of that story in this segment that we're going to play for you. And I found him to be really, really interesting, really nice guy, very open to a follow-up. So when I do a follow-up interview, and I have a lot of questions from listeners and Facebook friends who I asked, do you guys have questions for Republican leader Jim Durkin? And they sent me a lot of questions. So if you have any, you can also go to my Facebook page, and you can find the post where I ask for folks to go ahead and join in and give me some questions you would like to have answered. And he said that he was up for a follow-up next week. So I will be back in his office, and okay. I will put that microphone right under. I'm going to put it right on his cheek.
Double mic him.
I'm going to triple mic him. So here is part of our interview with Republican leader Jim Durkin. The rest will be available as a podcast. Here it is. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am in Republican leader of the House, Jim Durkin's office. Is that the correct way of stating your title?
I am the House Republican leader.
Okay.
I live in the west suburbs of Cook County. I'm Republican. How about that? Republican leader lives in Cook County. So, but I hope you like my office.
Your office is stunning. You were telling me
there's a lot of history here. This used to be Mike Madigan's office up until 1995. Mm-hmm. Republicans back then, it was the Bill Clinton, the anti-Bill Clinton wave. So Republicans won everything. It was Lee Daniels' office. It was the Speaker back in 95 and 96. And I'm told that many, many years ago, this used to be the Secretary of State office.
Really?
But, you know, here's the beauty of it.
It's gorgeous.
It's great. I come from a family that I have 3 stepdaughters, and I have a little girl, my wife, and we have a dog whose name is Ruby, not Rudy.
Okay.
And I've had to share a bathroom my whole life. I'm one of 8 boys also.
Yeah.
And we shared one bathroom. So I have my own shower, bathroom, and a kitchen.
You love it in here, don't you?
I love it. It's great. It's a wonderful office. There's a lot of history, and I'm very blessed and honored to be in this position, because, you know, I don't look at this as a lifetime calling. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the best I can, but, you know, somebody else will be in here someday.
So this is the Leader Cave.
This is Leader Cave, yeah. Exactly.
This is great.
It's good. It's a great place. You know what? My office is open to everybody, and you can ask any Democrat. I have them back here talking to me about their bills, helping them with their bills. And I pretty much negotiated the Chicago firearm legislation with four Democrats in my office at the end of May.
Really?
I have Democrats come back, Republicans. I keep an open door policy.
Well, that's what I've heard. I've heard that a lot of Democrats like working with you, and obviously the Republicans have a lot of respect for you. But that things have changed, obviously, over the last 2 years,
yes,
as far as the tone.
Yes.
But first I want to ask, you said you're from the western suburbs. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Westchester, Illinois.
Westchester?
Right on the border. It's right on the DuPage-Cook County border. But my parents moved out of the west side of Chicago when I was like a year old.
Okay.
1962. Both of them passed just within the last 4 years.
Oh, but I'm so sorry to hear that.
But we were very fortunate. You know, they were both 84 years old.
Okay.
And we had a wonderful life with them. They, incredible parents, and my brothers were the beneficiaries of incredible sacrifice from my parents. All eight of us went to the same Catholic grammar school in Westchester. We all went to Fenwick High School in Oak Park.
Oh, really? It's a great school.
All eight of us graduated from college.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Illinois State University.
All right.
And then five out of the eight are practicing lawyers in the city of Chicago. And my parents always said, education, education, education. They helped us so much along the way. So
right.
I wish they were here to see. I have a brother who's in the federal court, and I've got brothers that are doing really well in the legal profession.
All boys, you said?
All boys, no girls.
Wow.
So I told you, I'm now in a house of all women, and I make sure that there's my wife and our little dog called
Ruby.
With a B, not a D. You know, it's. I jokingly say this, but I think there's something to it. But when people say, well, how is it to deal with those Democrats down in Springfield and, you know, the Speaker and all those guys? I said, guys, you haven't seen anything. I went from a household of eight boys, no girls, to a household of five women and one female dog. I am just, you know, I've seen it all. Nothing.
But it was
nothing,
incremental.
Nothing can surprise me.
But it was incremental for you, though. First, you know, your wife. You get to know her. And then the kids, I guess.
And then, you know, girls when they're teenagers are so pleasant, too.
I'm sure that my parents had some stories. I know my mom wanted to have me institutionalized. That's a different story for another day.
Exactly. But you know what? They're all doing well. And
how old are the kids?
My oldest stepdaughter is 26. She just got married a couple weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And 24, 22, and my little girl is 15.
Oh, wow.
She's starting her second year of high school. So.
And what does she think about Dad being in Springfield?
She's known Dad as long as she's known Dad. Dad's been going back and forth from Springfield. So
wow.
It's tough. And, you know, the girls are kind of grown up. And so it's my wife and my daughter at home. I think that they know that at some point I'm going to finish this job. But the thing is, all those years, I've missed things. And it's unfortunate.
Right.
But I feel that this is very important for her and also for her generation to accomplish things that are not going to be left with them. Problems
Absolutely.
That will not be left. And that's, I use the phrase, my parents often said this to me, that never felt more true today, is leave a place better than you found it. And, you know, and I think about that. My parents wouldn't do this. We wouldn't leave this debt. We wouldn't leave these problems for us. They never did. They made the sacrifice.
Right.
And they sacrificed so much for themselves. But the fact is, we need to have that same attitude over the next 10 days.
Exactly. I think that a lot of people are hoping for that. Is the philosophy of your parents, as you just said, leave something better than when you found it? Is that part of what drew you to politics, to run for office? Is seeing something that you could make better?
I think so. You know, it's interesting. This is how it started. My brothers, I come from a family, a lot of them are really labor Democrats. And I remember working, a little kid, passing out stuff with my older brother in the city of Chicago for the Chicago elections. And I just did it for the fun.
Right.
I decided that I was... There were some things that happened that I witnessed. One thing that really disturbed me was the Iran-Contra hostage crisis, and I was just very disturbed that Americans were being held in this third world nation.
Right.
And we couldn't do anything about it, and I was very disappointed with Jimmy Carter. And it scared me. I was a young man, and I looked at the Reagan...
Mm-hmm.
He made me feel good about things, and I just started thinking differently.
Okay.
I'm the black sheep of the family, of course, the Republican. But I... became involved with local politics. I was involved with some local township races, and I helped a friend get elected as a township committeeman. He then ran for state representative in 1992, and he was elected. He was about my age, and I got the bug. I started getting excited. So I decided to run for a junior college board, Triton College Board of Trustees, back in the early 1990s. And there was problems with the college. It was called Cloud College.
Oh, really?
Yeah, federal investigations, all this stuff. But what really put me over the edge was I was single. I was an assistant Cook County State's attorney.
Uh-huh.
Loved it, but the thing is, I felt I could do more.
Okay.
Even though I spent long days at 26 in California. You know, that crazy place.
It's intense.
So the Triton College Board of Trustees had awarded themselves American Express gold cards. This is early 1990s.
Really?
Talk about the arrogance. Arrogance. Unbridled.
Uh-huh.
So the management, so I decided, you know, I'm going to run. This will be what I'm going to run at. It's going to be on this fiscal note, but more importantly, I'm going to get rid of the credit cards. I will get rid of the American Express credit cards, the gold cards, not even just Americans, but the American Express gold cards.
Sure.
I was elected. I got sworn in the first day, the night in which I was sworn in, the first order of business, eliminated the, got rid of the American Express gold cards. So the light bulb went out in my head that, you know what?
Done.
Instead of a person who's just going to complain and not do anything about it, I decided to run for office, and I saw that, you know what? I had an idea, something I felt strong about, and I was able to execute upon it.
Yeah.
After I got elected. So I just got more and more engaged.
It builds confidence.
It does. And I'm like, you know, this is...
Little by little.
Little by little. But the fact is, I was a lucky guy. I got appointed to the House of Representatives in 1995.
Okay. So somebody was stepping down or...
No. The state rep who I helped get elected, his name's Tom Walsh. He became the state senator by appointment because Judy Bartopinka was the state senator.
Okay.
And she ran and became the treasurer of Illinois, which created an opening. So he got appointed to the Senate seat, and then he appointed me to his seat.
Okay.
In my house. So I served for three terms, and I did a lot of interesting stuff during that time. In 2002, I ran for the U.S. Senate in a very forgettable year.
2002.
I won the primary, though. I beat Jim Oberweis's first race for public office, and I got him John Cox, who was both millionaires, and I'm anything but a millionaire. But I won the primary, ran against Dick Durbin. Got slaughtered.
And there you go with that.
I left. I just practiced law, but I came back in 2006 and became even more involved. I was the ranking member on the impeachment committee with Rob Blagojevich.
And
I tried the first time ever the removal of a sitting state representative, Derek Smith, from the west side of Chicago, who was picked up in an FBI sting. So I felt that I had just, you know, elevated my status a little bit.
Well, and having worked in the state attorney's office probably, you know, gives you that, you
edge.
Know, the edge. Yeah.
A little bit.
I understand the process.
I know how to ask the question. I know.
Yeah.
So, but it was a great learning experience working for the Cook County State Attorney's Office. Your cases are won and lost, and you hope that you can, most importantly, it's not about convictions. I always looked at it as about finding the truth.
Right.
That's what our system's about. And if you can find the truth, then you can also bring closure to victims who've suffered terrible loss. To me, that's one of the most gratifying things I've ever done in my life. So, but I look at what's going on right now in Springfield as that same challenge.
Yeah, and people really do want closure.
They do.
There's no doubt about it.
We all need closure. We need closure in a fair, negotiated fashion.
Well, and that's what's so hard for everybody is that it doesn't seem fair, right? A lot of people voted for Governor Rauner because they felt like things hadn't been played fairly for a long time. They feel like Speaker Madigan has a lot of power. And having been here from 1995 to 2002, is that right?
That's correct.
And then
coming back in
and coming
2006,
back,
yes.
Right, sort of. And sometimes it perhaps taking that time, did that give you some perspective going back to work and getting your, you know, rolling up your sleeves and legal work? Sort of bring a different sort of perspective. In that
After a loss in 2002, like every other person who's lost a race, I'm never getting back in it again. Oh, I hate everybody.
Yeah, how'd they bring you back?
You know, I got the itch.
Sure.
I did, because there was an opening in my neighborhood, and, I was appointed twice to the House of Representatives.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm very lucky. I'm a very lucky guy.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. 312-981-7200. If you want to take our trivia quiz about Chicago, we want to know how well you know Chicago. I have a pair of tickets to see Blake Shelton and there's somebody else. They're performing at Soldier Field for the opening ceremony of the Department of Defense Wounded Warrior Games, which are starting on June 30th. So we have, do you remember who the other performer is?
Of course, Kelly Clarkson, yeah.
Is it Kelly Clarkson?
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be Kelly Clarkson. I thought Blake Shelton, like, you know, you almost feel like it's going to be somebody less, but it's not somebody less. It's somebody up there too.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It made sense in my head.
It sounds like Miranda Lambert would be with him. That's a lot of...
Yeah, but that would be awkward.
They hang out a lot because they're married?
No, or they were divorced. Married? I was going to say that would be really awkward.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he's with... Isn't he with... I thought he was with...
He is with Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
See?
Is there anyone who hasn't been with her?
Who, Gwen Stefani?
Yes.
Who else has she been with?
She's been married.
Or... She's been with Stantis for at least 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, no, that didn't work out. Yeah, she just didn't want to leave Birmingham.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge show. I mean, to be honest, I kind of want the tickets. Can I be involved in this game show right now?
Yes.
Sweet.
We call it 312-981-7200. We have tickets to see Kelly Clarkson and Blake Shelton for the opening ceremonies of the Department of Defense's Wounded Warriors. The opening ceremonies are on Friday, June 30th at Soldier Field. And we are going to ask you questions about Chicago. We want to see how well you know Chicago. We have a list of 50 things you probably didn't know about Chicago. Scott and I have been going through the list off the air. I'm at so far, one of many things that I did know, many things I didn't know about my own hometown, the city that I love.
This is really, what an amazing town.
Isn't it though?
It really is. Thank you.
I mean, I'm not taking credit for it. I'm just saying.
Well, you're part of it.
I love my city. So far, we have Carl on the line, 312-981-7200. And we're going to take Carl and we're going to quiz him. So how do we decide? So best of five. I don't have just one pair of tickets. I have two.
Ooh,
so smart. I think I can give them both away tonight. So I think best of five, right? Whoever gets best of five?
Yeah, best of five sounds great.
All right, so you get five. Whoever gets the most out of five? I don't do well with math here. This is like a word problem for me.
I was told there'd be no math.
Let's see how well Carl does. Hey, Carl, how are you doing tonight? Oh, hold on a second. I'm sorry. Hi, Carl. I didn't have the button on for you. How are you doing tonight, Carl?
I'm doing great, thanks.
And how well do you think you know Chicago?
Well, I've lived here my whole life, so I kind of pay attention here and there.
All right, fair enough. So you've lived here. Where'd you go to high school, Carl?
Lane Tech.
Hello. Go Lane for you, will there be two? I don't know all the words to our school song.
You went to Lane Tech?
Oh yeah, L-A-L-A-L-A-N-E-T-E-T-E. I don't know why I have to prove it to you, Scott. You don't even know the I could be making this up to you.
I'm just smiling like an idiot right now going, what? Yeah.
Did you play any sports, Carl?
I played soccer.
Oh. Excellent. I was a swimmer and a softball player at Lane, and we don't have to go into any details about what years we went to high school, but I think going to Lane, there were some teachers that would share a lot of trivia about the city of Chicago. So I do feel like Carl has an edge on this quiz. Do you have one you want to start with, Scott, or do you want me to start?
I'm not sure how you're going to do this, so let me hear how you do it.
Okay, so here's your first one. This type of paint was invented in Chicago in 1949. Blank paint was invented in Chicago in 1949. What do you think, Carl? What was it?
Is it a blend or is it a type? I'm going to guess latex.
Oh, no, it is not. It is not latex. And we're going to... Oh! I scream like you hit me. Why do you have to whip me when someone else gets the questions?
We don't have a buzzer on the hotkeys at the moment, so the whip is what we got.
Stop hitting me, Michael. You know what? I kind of love that as the sound effect. Okay.
I love your reaction, my God.
Okay. Yes. Your second question here now, Carl, is from Jefferson Park, by the way, over by Dare. The second question is, the Chicago River is the only river in the world that does what? There's no other river in the world that does what our river does.
Flows backwards.
Yeah.
Bing, 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 bing. Okay. Hey, Carl,
here,
Scott here.
Hold on a second. Would you like me to do
what
this?
What was in that chocolate? That's what I want to know.
Thank you, Andersons. Go ahead.
Chicago is home to Lincoln Park Zoo. One of the world's blank zoos.
Oldest.
Mm. No, free.
Ooh.
Oh, would you stop?
Ow.
This is just like, The children should go to bed now.
We're trying to make sure. Trying to make sure that Carl gets these right. Okay, so far he's got one. He's one for three so far.
Okay.
You got this, Carl. I believe in you.
I do. The Art Institute of Chicago holds the largest collection of blank paintings outside of the Louvre in Paris.
This one's really hard.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's another show.
Largest collection of you're so close. So close. Impressionist painting.
You know what the problem is with you giving away the answer? You're supposed to tell him he's wrong because we might need these questions for other
callers.
We've
got 50 of them.
That's true. 312-981-7200.
But you're right.
We're going to keep going with Carl, and not just because he's the first caller, but mostly because he's the first caller. Now, this one you should know. This one you should know, okay? What street is the world's longest continuous street at 23.5 miles? What street in Chicago?
West. Western Avenue.
That's right. You know why we know that? Because we went to school right there at the corner. I remember, I think it was Mr. Mulvey that talked about how, my English teacher talked about how it was the longest continuous street in the world, and also how it had more used car dealerships.
Wow.
I don't know if that's accurate or not. Okay, one more. Let's see. The Chicago is home to the world's largest free outdoor food festival. What's the name of it?
Still got to be Taste of Chicago.
There we go. Yay!
Where's the bell?
Oh, sorry. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on the line, Carl. You've got a pair of tickets to go see Blake Shelton. And you want another one?
No, he got three.
He got three. He got three out of five.
All right.
Maybe three out of six. I lost track of questions.
Yeah, we really don't.
What was that, Carl?
Oh, I appreciate it. It's great. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, and I wish I could be at the opening games, but we're going to be in Springfield. So you have to take pictures. I need some selfies from you at the opening ceremonies for the Wounded Warriors. Okay.
Wounded Warriors. Fantastic. Absolutely.
Awesome. Hold on the line, Carl. Go Lane.
Great. Go Lane.
Go Lane. Hold on one second. Let me put you on hold there. We got that. Now we have Jeff in Chicago. All right, Jeff. Hi. Did you know all the answers to all the questions we've already asked?
Most of them.
Excellent.
Wow.
All right. That's in your head of the game.
Okay,
go ahead, Scott.
Let me start this. The first of this kind of bank in the United States was created in Chicago in 1937.
Ooh, this is a hard one.
It is a hard one. This is a very hard one.
I feel like giving hints.
What kind of bank? The first
blank bank
in the United States was created.
First National Bank?
See, this is a hard one.
It is a hard one.
Oh. Is that your hint? Is that like a Dracula hint?
Maybe it is, and maybe it isn't. I guess caller Jeff is going to have to find out.
It's a Dracula hint, Jeff. Blank bank.
Blood bank.
There it is. Hold on a second.
It's like a symphony. We should get the band back in here and just help them out a little bit.
Okay, so that's your first question. Go ahead. Go. Scott's enjoying this. Go ahead, Scott.
I am.
Yes.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. We're gonna go. Those don't work.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. I agree. That blank, blank, blah, blah, blah. Yes.
Chicago was technically the birthplace of blank operas.
Ooh.
Chicago is technically the birthplace. Technically, I don't know why that's important, but technically the birthplace of blank operas.
Hmm.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I would not have guessed this one. You're right, blank operas.
Soap operas.
Yes!
What?
Jeff!
Yes. Just, I don't know why I feel compelled to do that. Now it's become like a thing.
It is.
Okay, here we go. Got another one. Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, you got one? Oh,
no, you go. No, you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's one that's super easy. And Hugh Hefner started the publication of Blank in Chicago in 1953.
Playboy.
Here it is. Hubba, hubba.
That seemed like a double ding. I think that's necessary. Go ahead.
How do we do that? How do we do number 14?
Number 14? Let me see. This clothing device was invented in Chicago in 1851. It's a, would you call it apparel closure device?
Zipper?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
All right, then. I believe he's gone above and beyond and won the second pair of tickets to see. Do you want to do another one? We have other callers. We can give away other things. Don't you worry, Scott. There's other prizes for other
okay,
people.
Okay, this...
You need to do it?
This hostess delight was invented in Chicago in 1930. That's my own wording.
Twinkies.
There it is.
Hey!
You went 5 for 5, man.
Yes. Well,
way to go.
Thank you.
Well done, Jeff. Again, you've won a pair of tickets to see Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson. They're performing at Soldier Field. Actually, it's on July 1st. I apologize to everyone who thought it was on June 30th. It is on Saturday, July 1st, during the opening ceremony concert for the 2017 DOD Warrior Games. And everyone else can get their tickets at Ticketmaster.com. The games are going from June 30th through July 8th. And Jeff has won our second pair of tickets to see Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson. Jeff from Plainfield, you hold on the line. Jeff, you from Chicago, have a great night and hold on the line.
Thanks.
Thank you. Hold on the line so Michael can get your information. Jeff from Plainfield, you hold on. I got other things. I got a pizza.
You got things?
I got a pizza.
You got things.
More
after
this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Our good friend Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist and editorial board member of the Chicago Tribune, is fascinated by our list, and that's why we're carrying on to round 3 of 50 things that you might not know about Chicago. And I love Scott going, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Some of this is really amazing. I mean, just... And just kind of jaw-dropping.
Well, that's why we're going on to round 3 with Jeff from Plainfield. Jeff, how well do you think you know Chicago?
Well, I grew up in the south side of Chicago, and my granddaughter lives in Chicago.
Okay.
And I'm going to see her in the morning.
Oh,
in fact,
wonderful.
I'm on my way right now.
Where are you driving from right now?
Plainfield.
Are you driving
from? She lives in Logan Square.
I love the Logan Square neighborhood. There's some great restaurants. It's a wonderful area. All right.
Yeah.
All right. We have a Lou Malnati's on the line for you. And that's another reason for you to drive down to Chicago to visit your daughter. You can go grab a Lou Malnati's. If you win this card, I'm pretty sure so far we've given it to.
Yeah.
We've given the prizes away to everybody that's called. We're having as much fun. We're mostly glad to just talk about Chicago with you, Jeff. So Scott's got the list.
This is such an awesome city. Such an awesome city. I mean, okay. Jeff, you ready?
It's a great place to go visit.
I think he meant that he likes to go visit and not stay there. I heard it in his voice. That's okay.
Hey, I live down in the Loop. I love. We've been down here for a number. When we first, I got the job at the Tribune. This is where we moved. We haven't left.
Yeah.
So
there you go. By the way, I have a bonus question for Jeff when he's done.
All right.
All right.
How's this, Jeff? Okay. The longest Major League Baseball game to ever be played was in 1984 at Comiskey Park in Chicago. Chicago White Sox defeated the Milwaukee Brewers after blank innings.
Ooh.
How many innings was that game?
Come on, Southside.
19.
Ooh. Well, how many was it?
25.
What?
Oh!
I did not see that
Ouch.
One coming.
You keep saying it's adorable.
That was a pure guess.
Now here's one that we have the parade coming up this weekend, and this to me is amazing and noteworthy. In 1924, the first blank rights group in the U.S. was created in Chicago. 1924.
Say that again.
In 1924.
I was born in 44.
so this has been going on for 20 years. In 1924, the first blank rights group in the U.S. was created in Chicago. And they're having their parade this weekend.
Oh, boy.
A little on the nose there, Scott.
I know. He gave you a hit twice.
Oh, he did?
Yes. There's a big celebration coming up this weekend.
LBG?
I think that
we can go to
it's the first gay rights group that ever be created in the United States.
That's amazing. 1924, I had no idea. And lastly, and I live near here, and I see it every day, but the Wrigley Building was the first office building to have what?
Wrigley Building,
The Wrigley Building was the first, it was the first office building to have this.
It was on Michigan Avenue.
Yes,
sir. has a clock.
First building.
From Tribune Tower.
Yes. Yeah. It was in the United States. It was the first building to have this in the United States.
You know, they don't qualify that. They just say it's the first building that had it.
Interesting. Now we have to Google that.
Which buildings have it?
It makes life comfortable, especially, you know, this in the 2.5 days that it's hot and sticky. Here.
And the type of this that they have in the Thompson Center.
Air conditioning.
Oh!
Hey, there it is.
Yes.
Patty, do you have some?
Yay.
And remember, I wanted to add the other quick tidbit of info.
Yes.
Air conditioning, big here in Chicago. It was huge in Ringling Brothers, and they were the first traveling component to bring air conditioning to certain towns, learned by our own Steve Dale.
There you go. Yes, that's very cool. And that's fantastic.
Jeff
story.
Is blown away right now by my
I know,
knowledge.
Jeff is blown away.
I'm blown away, yes.
All right, what I'm trying to think of do we do one more question for him? Or the bonus question? The bonus question is something that it's more of a civics question for you. As a Plainfield resident, who is your state representative?
Oh, God.
Wow.
That's just mean.
Why is that mean? I've had him on the show pretty regularly.
Oh, gosh.
It's okay. He's an excellent legislator. He's been on the show, I would say, at least 4 or 5 times, maybe more. He's been in studio. Who did he come on
with? In fact, I'm having a hard time recalling his name, but I did help him reset his sign. I'm a realtor.
Okay.
I'm going to be 73 this year, and I'm a realtor. And I'm a veteran as well.
Yes, oh, thank
I'm
you.
Veteran.
Thank you for your service.
And I had to reset his sign because somebody threw it out in the middle of the street. And I can't remember his name.
Mm. You're not going to lose anything. I just wanted to see if you knew, because that's one of my goals of doing these segments. Is 312-981-7200. Has anybody learned the name of their legislator in the 3 years of it going down to Springfield? Is any of this getting through to anybody?
Probably not.
I'm not going to give up. I am not going to give up. I'm 95% sure that he represents the entire area of Plainfield. Representative Mark Batnick would be your legislator.
Oh, okay. Right. Right.
I have to tell you.
I'll call that a right answer.
Hold on. There you go. I cheat because I stare at them for about 2 or 3 hours a day when I go down there. So it's just tell them I sent you.
But before him, wasn't it Blago?
That would be the governor.
Yeah. Was he representative one time?
I don't think
so. It's a joke. It's a joke. Oh. I thought you'd laugh.
Oh, I Jeff, we have a Lou Malnati's gift card to send you, so that next time you come into the city to hang out with your daughter, you can stop and grab one of their amazing deep dish pizzas.
Cool.
My pleasure. And again, Representative Mark Batnick is your representative. Batnick. Tell him I sent you. He's a good guy.
Batnick.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Ooh, that's really good.
No. Batnick.
He probably likes that better. Likes that better than Beatnik.
I'm Batnick.
Ooh, that should be his next commercial. I'm Batnick.
I'm Batnick.
Don't touch my signs. This is Mark Batnick coming to you.
You guys are too funny. I listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, thank you so much. We love having you on the air tonight. And give us a call again. Check in with us and let us know how stopping by Representative Batnick's office was.
I've got your number on my phone.
Excellent. Thank you. Have a good night, Jeff. And be careful. Hold on the line so Michael can get your information to send out your Lou Malnati's gift card. Everyone else can go to loumalnati's.com. They just have such good pizza.
Yum.
I always feel badly when I give away a ticket because then I have to go and have pizza tomorrow. So every week, I'm like, it's time for pizza, and then CrossFit, and then pizza. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Scott Stantis. We just looked up his legislators by going to openstates.org. You can enter your address and find out who your state representative, who your state senator is, who your congressman is. You can find out all those congress people, your governor, if you need to know. And that's for anybody, not just in the state of Illinois. That's across the country.
Wow.
Openstates.org. Mr. Political Cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune.
It's good to know.
Yes.
Good to know. I just love it. I feel so foolish. He said, when we're off.
3 years.
I didn't know my legislators.
3 years I've been standing behind this.
You shouldn't feel foolish. You should feel stupid. Thank you, Patty. Thank you.
Whatever I can do to help. Whatever I can do to Mike. I'm sure Michael has looked up his legislators. I'm sure he stopped by their office or sent them a postcard. And
nearly every day.
I can't.
I can tell he's looking it up right now.
You know
now.
What? It doesn't mean I'm going to keep...
Look over to the booth. He's looking it up right now.
I'm not going to stop. Openstates.org.
Dukakis. Oh. I have no idea.
Okay. We are also talking about 50 things you probably didn't know about Chicago. We know some of them. We are surprised and shocked and awed by some of the things that we're learning about Chicago. And I'll bet taxi driver Bob knows quite a bit, driving around all the time. You learn things as you go, don't you, Bob?
Absolutely. And Scott, that's not the first time you sound silly and not knowing stuff.
Thanks, Bob.
Wow. It's pile on time.
I love Scott. Scott's a great guy. He's got a good laugh.
You are correct. He doesn't he have a great laugh?
Oh, thank
you do. You have a wonderful laugh.
It's a big laugh.
What?
It's just people hear it from space.
Comics always know when I'm in the room. They're always. Will Durst, who's one of my favorite comedians on the planet, I've never been more tickled than when he stopped and went, "Hey, Patty."
Did he really?
In the middle of a set.
I was a comedian, and he wasn't doing that great, but I was kind of giving him a pity laugh, actually. I was laughing my laugh. Ah, and he starts, that part of his shtick is to start dissing the guy who's laughing loudly.
Oh, really?
So I didn't laugh the rest of his set.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. If someone's...
Well, pity laugh can be weird, too. That might have been just him in his head and getting angry at himself instead of you. So I'm sorry he turned that at you instead of...
It hurt me.
Instead of putting a lid on it. We're very vulnerable when we're on stage. I apologize to you from him. You're welcome. Well, obviously, it scarred you. How long ago did this happen?
It was just weird. And he actually said one thing that was funny. I laughed. It was years ago, 10,
See?
20 years ago.
And you're still scarred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patty, do you remember this this occurrence a while back? You had a guest who was laughing the most obnoxious laugh ever, and I think you did an example of it. Oh, wait. I had a different clip set up, and I didn't mean to play that one.
That was a good one.
I have so many laugh track clips in here that, okay, go ahead.
Yes, okay, so Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Taxi driver Bob. He's on the line. He's going to win. This is for a Lou Malnati's pizza. All right, taxi driver Bob, let's see how many of these you know.
Now, this one you have All to, right. this one you should know, given your profession. In 1895, uh-huh. the first blank race ever seen in the United States was held in Chicago. In 1895, the first blank race ever seen in the United States was held in Chicago. Hmm. And given your profession, you should know this.
An automobile race.
There it is.
Yay. There you go.
Woot!
And what was it, since you brought that up?
That's all it says.
First automobile race ever seen was in 1895.
In the United States, yeah, 1895, though.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating to me. I love that. I did not know, and there's no way to phrase this question, so we'll have to do it later. The first franchise restaurant opened in the Chicago suburb of Des Plaines.
That's McDonald's. Come on, that was an easy one.
I know. I just fun to say.
Okay, Bob, here's one every Chicagoan knows. Even I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm stupid, apparently.
And silly.
That's a funny laugh.
The four stars on the Chicago flag represent what?
This is a hard one.
You think so? You don't know this?
When I hear it, I go, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, well, let's
see. Stars on the Chicago flag.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me know if you need some help.
I remember somebody, in fact, on your radio station saying it, what it was, but I don't remember at all.
Really?
This is not easy. I always think it's I can never remember. I always think it's the river, because the two lines are the river.
Sure.
And it's not fair because I've already now read the
right.
So go ahead.
But no, I love flags. I actually collect them. I have like 350 of them.
That's why you know. It's not because why don't I know?
But I know because I love my town.
I know. Every time I see the list, apparently. Every time I see the list, I go, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's the founding of Fort Dearborn. Here, I'll do it without looking.
Yes.
Founding of Fort Dearborn. Uh-huh. The Columbian Exposition of 1893. Mm-hmm. The Century of Progress World's Fair of 1933, and the Chicago Fire.
Ah, there you go. There's the four stars.
Now you know.
Weren't they thinking about adding a fifth? I can't remember.
They've always done that. They've proposed it.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't mind us.
I was gonna.
When Patty got a radio program.
Oh, there you go. There's a fifth star.
Talked about Harold Washington when he passed away was proposed.
That's not enough.
I'm trying to think what else.
They're trying to do Special Olympics is a fifth star that they're really trying to
that's
go forward
right.
to.
And mm-hmm. I think Taxi Driver Bob just got a fare. What happened there, Taxi Driver Bob?
You're absolutely right. I just got a trip out of the Condell Hospital in Libertyville.
I used to work for Am's Limousine. So I used to send out the...
Are you serious?
Yeah. I used to take the calls for Am's Limousine and make the... I remember one time I got a...
You were in the office on Lehigh when they were on Lehigh?
Yeah. That little...
Oh, really?
My dad was a driver for Am's Limousine.
I also drove for them as well in the 80s.
Oh, then you probably did know my dad. Larry. Little Larry. I worked there in the office in 1980. It was in the 80s.
Wow.
Were you driving for AMS during the remember when the basketball was it the All-Star game? I think the All-Star game was in Chicago, so there were a bunch of fares for a lot of basketball notables. And I got a phone call and someone was making a reservation and I said the name out loud and like one of the women, we had these cubicles kind of where all the phones were. We were kind of divided mm-hmm. up. And one of the women set up and she goes, "You making a reservation for Bob Cousy?" Right. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, whatever. I didn't know who Bob Cousy was. And it was actually Bob Cousy on the phone with me. And he was he couldn't have been more kind about the fact that I didn't know who he was. And there were people behind me screaming about him.